You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? We like it mixed! Whoa!
I love the enthusiasm. Producer Casey. What's up, everybody? How's it going? This is Alexander K. Lee bringing you the MMA Fighting UFC Vegas 78 preview show alongside, as I mentioned, Casey, and of course, the incredible... Oh, what's up, little guy? What's up, little guy? The incredible Jed Meshew. All right, I think we can... Casey, I think we can bring down the music a little. I think the party's up. Oh, okay.
Leave the music on, AK. The music is why people are here. It's why they're here.
I thought I just had it playing in the other window by accident. Yeah, it's good. We need this because people are pumped. There we go. Let's fade it out a little. People are pumped about UFC Vegas 78. I threw up the poll just before we hopped on here. And this card doesn't look great to me personally, but maybe I misjudged it because it's at a solid C, 44% leading the way. So I thought people would, you know, jump for the opportunity to slam the UFC like we in the so-called MMA media do and just, you know, come down on this card, which is a little lacking in star power. But D is actually tied for last, C, 40% right now, and B, 28%. So a lot of people seeing this as a perfectly passable, respectable fight card. Jed, I don't know if you agree. Give me your quick overview right now. And before you do, I just want to warn people, anyone who watched last week saw Jed debut the incredible Michelin star system, which you know, has 1, 2, 3. It's a 3-star system, and it's kind of based on like how far would you be willing to go to attend this event live? Now, Jed, I asked you, DM'd you, and I said, are UFC Apex cards ineligible to receive a Michelin star? And you said not exactly, but unlikely. So what? How do you want to talk about this card if we're not talking a star rating?
Look, they're eligible if they're worthy. They're probably more likely to get, you know, like a Bib Gourmand, hey, look, this is actually a pretty good card given the cost of the card, you know, the low value of the card. It's at least quality. It's saying it. I love you all dearly. Everybody who's here, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We love to have you. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you are giving this anything higher than a C, and I think C is wrong, if you're one of those people voting A or B, I implore you to go outside and just touch some grass. Get out there, see the sunlight, spark imagination in your eyes by the glorious world around you, because this card, it ain't an A, it ain't a B. It's not really a C, but I'll at least allow you to do that one. So this card is awful. The Bellator card tonight is just straight up better than it. I was a little on the fence on this, like as the week went on, because Bellator fight is 17 fights, which is so many fights, but it's just a straight up better card. We talked about it a lot this week. There are no stakes on this card. None of these fights are meaningful in a grander sense than specifically for the individuals competing on that night and their paychecks. It's a tough hang, man. I'm not here to be the prince of positivity. I'm here to shoot you straight. Not a great effort. It's fine. Not every card has to be great, but this is one of those weekends. I would implore you, if you have anything else to do, do not stop your life for this fight card. 292 next week is a 3-star endeavor. We're going to be doing it big for that one. So you can take a weekend off to be with your family if that's something that you're interested in.
So with that in mind, tomorrow's cards start at 4 p.m. ET start time for the preliminaries, 7 ET main card, if you guys who don't want to miss it. I have to think, Jed, most of these people voting A or B are, you know, just they're dyed-in-the-wool UFC fans. They like their UFC action. They're excited about, you know, some lesser-known fighters getting some shine. And I use the phrase lesser-known as politely as I can. This is... Jed, I haven't had the chance to listen to No Bets Barred. I'm a little more, before I get into my whole, I got a whole thing prepared here. How much action do you have on this card, would you say?
Not a lot, because it's hard. Like, I'm not going to dive deep into some of these people who are, you know, like less than 10 fights in their career, because there's just no point in it. So I'm pretty limited this week. Connor is also pretty limited. Because also, again, like 292 is next weekend. That card's amazing. Card's a 3-star card. I'm super pumped for that one. This is just the hill we got to get over before we get to that great, great adventure next week. So, yeah, no. Not a ton of interest in just about any way in this card. Not all the fights are bad, and maybe the event will turn out okay. But I do not have high hopes for this.
This is going to be a hell of a preview show based on this energy that we're getting here. Casey, can I bring you in real quick and get your opinion of what this UFC card, which is just it's getting slammed. It's getting slammed by Jed Meshew. I feel like social media...
Deliver a good fight card and I will praise you. I praised Nashville moment. Last week.
Yes, you
I
did.
Praised 291. I've said at least three times this episode that 292 is awesome. Yeah, this just ain't it.
You went as far as to grace Nashville with a Michelin star. Telling
got
people
a,
to
got
get
a star. That's big business.
That's big business. That's legit. That's if you were in the Nashville area, like get out of your houses and shell out a ticket. So that, you know, again, I wouldn't ask you to put on that level, but Casey, quick word on the overall thoughts on this card.
It's a card. It's 100% a card. There's professional fighters on it. It's government sanctioned. And it will be streaming on ESPN Plus.
That is okay, a great. Solid yeah, is fact. A, all yeah. of those are facts.
No lies. No lies.
Big no facts. Lies. You know, that okay, reminds me.
Okay. In all seriousness,
uh-huh.
There are fighters I want to see fight, but there are absolutely zero matchups. Go, oh, this is the fight I want to see. There are fighters I'm curious to see Montserrat Ruiz.
Yeah.
And that's just because I'm kind of curious. She has a cool neck tattoo. But really, it's not like that's really about it. And is Juliana Miller going to be a 500 fighter after winning tough? Even though I think she's exciting. But as far as like fights, yeah, they could be good. You know, they could not be. Did I mention it's streaming on ESPN Plus?
No, we got to plug that. Yeah, ESPN Plus. If you're going to sign up through MMAfighting.com. We've got handy links in the results page, Wayne's page. It's okay. So people, I'm not looking at the comments. I'm just pretending. I'm imagining what people are saying. Like, guys, these are fighters. They've earned their way here. How can you guys be so critical? You've never fought in a day in your life.
Have they?
Actually, Jed and Casey, I've never fought a day in my life. I'm the one who should be shutting up. Jed, I know you've done some kickboxing. Casey, of course, undefeated in MMA. But let me present this statistically. Let me present this empirically to people who don't understand why.
I love where we're going here.
Half of the fighters on this card are either from the Ultimate Fighter Contender Series or... one fellow from Dana White's looking for a fight. 13 out of 20. So there's 26 fighters.
That is lower than I would have guessed.
Well, here's the other thing. Well, if I add in, there's another thing, clause I'll add in after, which is going to make things even worse, right? So the people on that list, Juliana Miller, Ultimate Fighter 30, Jose Johnson, Dana White Contender Series, he's being called in on short notice. Josh Prezian, maybe the most hilarious story, went 2-0 on Dana White Contender Series to get their attention. And then his reward for his second win was making him go through Tough 28, which he did not win. But at least they signed him eventually. Martin Budai Contender Series, Francis Marshall Contender Series, Isaac Dolgarian finally making his debut, Dana White looking for a fight. Terrence McKinney Contender Series. If people don't remember, he actually lost to Sean Woodson. He was viciously KO'd and then came back on short notice and you know, thrilled us early on. I was kind of in a weird spot. Mike Breeden, Contender Series contestant, lost to Anthony Romero, who also wasn't signed. So Mike Breeden is in the UFC after losing to someone who also didn't get a contract on Contender Series, which is great. JP Bays, 2 tries in Contender Series to get on. Jamie Pickett, 3 tries to get a UFC contract. And I think he actually only got it because he came in short notice.
Multiple Contender Series people.
Tafon and God bless them for their persistence. Tafon and Chukwe Contender Series, and he just missed weight, by the way, so that's fun. AJ Dobson Contender Series, Khalil Roundtree, all the way back, Ultimate Fighter 23. So that's half less, and that's not including a lot of these people who were just brought in, like they're making their first or second appearance, and they're really only getting a second shot because they came in on like short notice. Maybe they won their short notice fight because Marcus McGee is a short notice guy for his first fight. So there's a lot of. To put it nicely, what we used to think of as UFC quality, it's not on this card.
It's cannon fodder. Dude, I have a better stat for you right now. There are 26 fighters on this card. 8 of them have less than 10 fights in their total careers.
Yes.
Like, by whatever metric, if you're a big Contender Series believer or a tough guy, you know, you can have those. And I can't argue that those are bad things, right? But basically no reasonable metric should anyone with less than 10 fights be like, that dude's definitely UFC quality. There are outliers where you can say that, you know, with a Bo Nickel, but the vast majority of fighters should fight more than 10 times before getting to the pinnacle of the sport, which is where this is supposed to be. And that's just what this card is. And what, frankly, a lot of UFC cards, certainly Apex cards, have turned into. This is a step above what you would get at a local regional promotion with a big headliner. Obviously, the headliner is two very marquee fighters, but most of the composite parts are dudes you guys could go see fight in your local shows. And I would encourage you to do that. Local MMA is really fun. If you haven't ever been, do that. But like, that's a whole vibe. If this card were happening at Wild Bill's up in Dahlonega or whatever, like I might take a drive for like just have some beers in a dusty bar and watch this. But for this to be associated with the peak of this sport, we don't have to pretend it's good.
No. And the one thing I didn't do, because I was just getting too sad digging into the sort of the background of this lineup, is I thought at a glance, if you add up the UFC records of the fighters outside of Luque versus Dos Anjos and Cub Swanson versus Dawadu, and yes, I will get to those fights in a moment, trust me. If you add up the UFC records, I think of the non top 2 fighters, I think it might be like a losing record.
That wouldn't shock me at all.
Because we've got some people
who's got a big pile of wins, you know?
Outside like, none of these, again, not a lot. Roundtree has 7, I think, 7-5. But we've got JP Bays. See,
most of the fighters just eyeballing it are even. Like they win below. One, lost one, or they lost a bunch. So I would absolutely believe that that's true.
Josh Fremd versus Jamie Pickett is opening the main card. Josh Fremd is 1-2 in the UFC. Jamie Pickett's 2-5. This is opening a main card on ESPN Plus. I get the whole thing's on ESPN Plus, but still. And Josh Fremd also just
can't judge a fight card until they fight.
You really can't.
Could be
really
the greatest night of fights.
AJ Dobson versus Chukwe. That's 0-2 versus 2-3 on the main card. You guys get the point. I just want to see, did this shift the voting at all? I somehow doubt it. C and B still going pretty strong. Let's focus on the positive. Shall we focus on the positive here?
It's a great point. Point three positives out. Is it?
I like it.
So here's my other problem with this card. And I swear I don't want to be the guy who's always negative, because in large part I'm not. At if you take away the ancillary parts of it, this main event rules. Like, it's an appropriate fight. It's going to be fun as hell. I feel all sorts of icky about Vicente Luque fighting like a month and a half after having a brain bleed. And I know that he's been medically cleared, and they at least suggested at the time that if he were to compete again, he would need to undergo some extra testing to make sure. But like, I'm all sorts of queasy about putting a dude who had a brain hemorrhage 90 days ago or whatever into here. Like, that makes me it genuinely makes me not feel great about this main event. Like, maybe we should have just waited. We don't need to rush him back from that. Like, let's have some time here. So I like that the unequivocal best fight on this card comes with a lot of baggage for me personally. I don't know how anyone else feels, but it's very eh.
Yeah, and it's – I don't know if this would make it better if he was, like, on a win streak and felt like there was something at stake here. But his last fight with Jeff Neal was so – was pretty one-sided. It was probably one of the – well, I'd say one of the best performances for Jeff Neal. Luque is probably –
and literally broke his brain?
It was
– he literally hemorrhaged from it.
It was nasty. And he's lost two straight now. He also had a pretty clear loss to Bilal Muhammad in their rematch. So he's on a two-fight losing streak. It's not like we're clamoring for Luque, like, oh, we really need to see him get back in there. I think a lot of us would have been fine if Luque, like, didn't fight in 2023. And like you said, we knew he was properly recovered. And again, we're not doctors, you know, we're not full-time anyway, you know. My side, I may dabble in the dark arts, but it does sound bad. The optics are bad. Again, I don't think you need to be a doctor to see brain bleed and go like, well, maybe I don't want to see this guy competing in a what will likely be a very, very tough five-round fight.
My presumption is that he will be okay. Like, the UFC takes safety to this in this sense, like, fairly seriously. So the assumption here is that he will be okay. But that's just one, like, it would just be a lot cooler if this was not the linchpin fight and also had this baggage. If this was I'm a little concerned about the opener on UFC 292, it's probably going to be fine, but this isn't going to be the crux of the whole evening. And there is a very small chance that something legitimately catastrophic happens. So,
and it's 25 minutes too. It's just even worse.
Yeah. Knock on wood. I assume that everything is medically okay, and I God sure hope that nothing bad happens. But when that's your hook, and it also comes with at least some trepidation for me, it's a tough fight card.
Wow. Again, we can't ignore that. I don't want to put it aside. I think if I'm talking strictly about the matchup, I do find it compelling. What I'm saying to people is, if we can just not talk about the brain bleed for a minute talk about the fight, let's do that.
MMA statement right now. If we can not talk about the brain hemorrhage.
Very fresh thing to say.
I think the fight.
Yeah, I like the match on paper. I think it's exciting. I think if we're talking, you know, quality five-round fights for two veterans who aren't necessarily really near the title picture at the moment, you could do a lot worse. But the stakes are, you know, one of the reasons I think that this card is also being overlooked. I think it was my best friend, Mike Heck, who said, like, is this one of the lowest staked, I don't know if that's an adjective you can use, is this one of the lowest staked cards in recent memory? As in, if anyone wins, are they getting near a title shot? Are they getting any movement up the rankings? And I always say, like, that's not the be-all, end-all of fighting, but I understand why that's, you know, why there has to be a hook like that. So
Is anyone in this entire card ranked on our top 10?
Just Vicente. Oh, top 10? No. We have Vicente Luque top 12 at welterweight. We have number 12 in our list, again, which also includes other fighters and other promotions. But I don't know if we have anyone ahead of him in another promotion right now.
And RDA is not in
Amosov,
our top 10.
Amosov, I guess, would be above him. I think that's
RDA it. Could theoretically be ranked if he was committed to a weight class, but
yes, that's fair.
He's bounced around. It's been,
yeah. And I haven't looked at the UFC rankings. I assume RDA is still ranked at
straight up. Weight? Straight up. Better question for you, Casey. How many people on this fight card have received votes in the MMA Fighting Global rankings? your answer is going to be 1-2. I would guess Cub Swanson at some point did.
Not now.
Not now, but 1-2-3-4, because I'm sure Khalil Roundtree did.
I think he still is. I feel like Roundtree has votes currently.
Maybe.
I think
he's on a 3-5 win streak. So
he is, yes.
So I'm looking at ballpark 5 people who have ever received an MMA Fighting Global Ranking vote. Because I think Terrence McKinney probably had some.
Had some heavyweight votes. Right?
He was ranked. He was actually top 15. He was ranked. He was ranked. Just so people know, in the UFC rankings, right now, RDA still at number 9, which is like, you know, I know
it's a lightweight. That's a lightweight.
At lightweight. He fought, that was last July. It's only been a little over a year since his last lightweight fight. So it's not like crazy. And
he lost that fight. He's sitting at number 9 for beating Paul Felder, like however many years ago that was.
A long time
ago. That's how he returned to the UFC lightweight rankings. He dropped back down, beat Paul Felder. Felder took that fight on short notice, by the way, but was ranked like 9. He is. But
Moicano is 13, and he crushed Moicano. So there's another weird fight. I don't know. I'm not defending the UFC's rankings.
I forgot he beat Moicano. That's actually like a relevant lightweight win.
That was so last second. That was second and so unnecessary.
Still relevant win.
Sure. Luque, number 10 in the UFC's rankings right now. So technically, the UFC can sell this as two of their top 10 fighters going at it. It feels like the majority of people are not convinced. Let's
That's a fun fight.
It's a fun fight. Let's get right to the victory again. There's not a lot to talk about. No one's getting a title shot off of this. Whoever wins this is still two fights away, I think. Doesn't matter. Fun fight. Jed, who takes it? Break this one down for us.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
I like how you think they're two fights away. They're at least three fights away. First, I want to start with one last statistical point because this straight up blew my mind. Do you guys know Vicente Luque's 31?
Whoa.
It is shocking to me that he is 31.
You thought he was older.
Oh yeah.
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 Cause like when you look at this, you're like, oh, former champion RDA taking on a grizzled veteran, two kind of older guys, certainly past their primes. You know, just good solid matchmaking, just hanging on to their top 10-ish 15 spots. And it's like, actually Vicente Luque is still 31. He got some city miles in that 31 for sure, but shocking to me how young he is.
he is well past your, you know, the other day we discussed that like a 12 years ish, I guess, depending how active you are, is a pretty like rough, you know, time when you think
12
like,
years is when you start to see the drop.
You start to see the drop. And I think that's where Luque was 2 years ago. He's actually in year 14 of his pro fighting career right now. So it's, man, he's right on schedule. And again, some pretty tough fights too. Eventually Luque has not been fighting a safe style in the UFC. He's going out there, get or get got. And again, 14 years of this. So yeah, he's 31. He's been fighting for a long time though. He's been fighting for a long time.
I mean, it's great. He'll finish his career and still be a young man and can do other things with his time and energy. Setting aside the aforementioned medical questions, I do think this fight just lines up well for RDA. Luque is a super fun fighter, a super dangerous fighter. So like you can't count him out, but RDA is still extremely durable. I mean, he kind of got the pants beat off him by Fazeev and still hung around for 24 minutes or however long he stuck in that fight. And I don't think that Luque is going to put it on RDA like that early. And so I think RDA's style is just really well built to beat Luque. He comes forward, puts a lot of pressure on. It's going to take some of the salt out of Luque's efforts. And he's a good enough offensive wrestler and a top position player. I think he can – we've seen Luque sort of stumble to that avenue of attack on him, what Bilal Muhammad basically did to him. So I think RDA can compete on the feet, put pressure Luque back, get takedowns, take top position. Probably doesn't get a finish because Luque is fairly tough, but this is 25 minutes, so you wouldn't shock me if RDA found something down the stretch. But I think it's going to be a clear unanimous decision victory for Mr. Dos Anjos.
Before I make my pick, I just want to read a comment from Jay Blomstead. I want to see a Cribs episode for these 10-year-plus fighters who haven't been champion. I bet most people, like, if you've been in the UFC for 10 years.
I bet
years,
you don't.
No, I was like, I don't think they're living in, like, poverty. There it is. I don't think they're living in poverty, but I agree. But I think that's a joke that Jay is making. Is like, I think your average person would be surprised if they saw, like, how, you know, somewhat modestly a lot of these people. Let's say, oh, this guy's been in the UFC 10 years? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have nice houses. Are they living in mansions or anything like that? I doubt it. Like, a lot of them are not, and that sucks. And it's weird
because Luque has fine houses in the burbs.
Sure. I mean,
none of them have like a nice house in downtown Toronto or whatever, you know? Like,
nobody can.
If you're living that city living, man,
I gotta stop
eating it on UFC paychecks.
I gotta stop eating at all those Michelin star restaurants. That's the problem.
We're talking real estate now?
I have a home right now. That's where
maybe they have great houses because Ally Quinta is dealing for them.
Hopefully, I hope I would love it to find out that Ally Quinta is
the Ally Quinta for most of them. Is becoming my favorite MMA fighter strictly because while a top 10 competitor, he was just like, honestly, it is better to sell houses than to do this. You're one of the 10 best fighters in the world. Yep, and instead. I'm just working on reloads, baby, because that's better for me financially.
I'm fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov for the lightweight title on the side. That's my side thing because I got a bunch of important viewings this week. So Khabib is here, you know, mentally, and my real estate business is right here. And again, I don't blame him.
I love this sport. No, it was objectively the correct decision. The sport rules.
RDA, by the way, turns 39 in November. I'm also picking him to win a decision. It just feels like he's worn his later years. Who knows? Maybe we'll see that. Maybe Luque has 5-6 more good years in him. We could be way off on this, but there has been a noticeable decline. Max Rabkin and Joseph Benavidez, the realtor. Joseph Benavidez, a lot of things.
And Jessica Penne, too.
And you got to do it. It's a great way to make cash. So I'm going with RDA again. He's so much older and even more experienced. 18 years in the business for RDA, Jed, but he's just worn it better. We know what he looks like as an older fighter, and we don't know about Luque yet. It does feel like he's fallen off a bit. Casey, do you have a pick for the main event?
Basically everything Jed said. I think we'll get a pretty 49-46 wrestling heavy dominant decision from RDA. Luque has to kind of, he has to, I don't want to say lucky punch, but he's gonna have to land something big that's early in the fight, I think, that really just rocks Dos Anjos, and he just never gets back into it. But I think 80% of the time, yeah, RDA is going to win this fight pretty dominantly using primarily his wrestling.
Yeah, it's hard. He's so good at mixing the martial arts. He's so defensively responsible. I'm sure people can find examples.
Eddie, I mean, unless RDA with, just finally gets old. I mean, he's that. There's always that point. Like he just shows up old, and maybe the 170 and he's just old might be enough. But it doesn't feel like Luque is the right opponent to expose him. Mm-hmm. I guess tomorrow
night. Yeah. Do we have any thoughts on RDA's future at welterweight? Is he just riding this out, getting fun fights? We're not getting Connor, right? It's not going to happen.
He might be hanging around to see if he can get the Connor. I will two important statistical points for the main event. This can be RDA's 34th in the UFC, which will move him into a tie with Jeremy Stephens for fifth all time, one behind Clay Guida, who is still active. So there's that. More importantly, RDA currently the leader in total fight time over Frankie Edgar by just about 5 minutes. So he's going to put a bigger lead in that with 30 over Frankie Edgar, most likely by the end of this fight. So, yeah, I think he's just keep doing that. Like, he's just going to hang around. He's not going to force the issue. He is never going to fight an up-and-comer. Like, I think he will just never.
I hope not.
He shouldn't. But, like, he's never going to be like, I'm just going to get back in the mix to make a title run. He wins this fight. What's Stephen Thompson doing since he didn't get paid? Sure. Go there. Maybe Stephen Thompson would take that fight. I don't know.
I'm just so not interested in seeing, RDA. I want to see RDA versus, like, honestly, like the Ian Garys kind of. I want
to see him with up-and-comers.
Yeah, he ain't gonna do that.
You guys are on opposite ends of this because
as a promoter, if I was a promoter, that's what you use RDA for.
I agree. You want to do that. He ain't gonna do it.
He ain't
no chance. He's doing that.
I mean, he may have to slip a few, like another $50,000 in his paycheck for him to do that. But that's as far as like RDA Wonderboy as cool. But it's not the fight I want to see.
You just pick any of the other bodies. Yeah. He already lost to Chiesa, didn't he?
And if you're wondering why I keep looking off screen, I'm dual screening it here. RDA beat Chiesa, right?
I think he lost to Chiesa. I'm fairly confident he lost to Chiesa.
I'm pretty sure he beat him. Oh, he lost him. Oh, he lost to UD. Oh, I don't remember this fight at all.
I feel really confident that Chiesa beat him as I'm thinking.
Who am I thinking of? Oh, he beat Magny. He beat Neil Magny, RDA, right?
Sure.
There's no way to find out. Okay. It's just
I've got the internet in front of me. I'm dual screening it here. If he wins, RDA will also move into a tie for fourth most wins in UFC history with Damian Maia and Charles Oliveira behind only Arlovski and Cerrone at 23 and of course Jim Miller at 25. So that's
So how far is RDA behind Jim Miller?
He'll be three wins behind if he wins on Saturday. Right now, he's four wins behind. God. Are you trying to make a UFC 300 matchup? Miller and
No, it's honestly, that would be dope. I'd watch the hell out of that fight.
Yeah, they've never fought. How can that be?
Maybe they have.
I'm forgetting.
RDA's fought 40 times. I can't remember them all off the top of my head.
People in the comments, if you remember this fight or can lie to us convincingly.
I see no Jim Miller. No Jim Miller on RDA's list. All right. That's it. That's our 300. Book it.
It'd be a great fight. I wonder, again, I think that would fit RDA's schedule. I don't see why he wouldn't want to do that. Has to respect him. Let's talk co-main, guys. Speaking of older, experienced fighters, Cub Swanson, 39 years old, turns 40 in November. Killer Cub is about to turn the big 4-0. 40 years young, I should say. 40 years young. He's getting a co-main event spot against Canada's own Hakeem Dawodu. You know what I'm going to say. Do you guys feel like this is a legitimate co-main event, or is this just a penultimate fight?
Definitely not a legitimate co-main event.
It's
no? Star power of Cub?
It's penultimate. No. It's worth
Hakeem is 6-3?
Yeah, that's nice.
Honestly, this is...
Help me out here.
No. Look, I mean, if you're a Cub fan, cool. This probably is not a very good night for him. So if Cub was going to win this, maybe I would say co-main event, but he's not. So it's penultimate fight.
I'm happy he's back at 145. The bantamweight move never – well, I didn't mind the bantamweight move, but they threw him right in there with Jonathan Martinez, which seemed like a terrible idea. I'm not sure what would have been a better matchup, but I just did not like that at all. I felt like they were, I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know if they were trying to put Martinez over. I don't know if they thought that it was a winnable fight for Cub, but that was did not go well. And he looked very happy on the scale, but I was watching the official weigh-ins today. He looked happy not to cut that 10 pounds for no good reason. Okay, so it sounds like you guys are all picking Dawodu. Not a lot of confidence in Cub.
This is Cub's 20th year of fighting. Like, we were just talking about how you start to decline after 12, usually. 20? I know. If he's happy doing this, continue to do the things that make you happy. I would personally love to see Cub get one final fight that makes sense and walk out of the cage. He has given enough of this sport in his health, and I hope that things go well for him. If he wins on Saturday, that would be awesome. Seems unlikely.
Can he make a? Can he make damn? They were good. Is he?
Yeah, at that level. Cub gets a damn. Cub is absolutely a damn.
It is,
no question.
I had to look it up.
I've always considered Cub's in that little that tier fighter where like what that kind of those best fighters that never fought for a UFC title.
Those actually the primary purpose of Dam was really originally just supposed to be those dudes, the other guys,
or WEC,
he never had a title shot. Nope. WEC, right?
He did not. Nope. He ran to Jens Pulver and a guy named Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo was, I think, a title eliminator.
I assume so. Yeah,
I believe that.
And like Cubs Swanson, he's one of those guys. Like in a parallel universe, he's a champion. But just in our universe, there was always that one fighter right above him. So he was at that number two guy. He was always that one win away from getting that title shot. He just didn't happen. And here he is. Obviously, everyone loves Cub. He's just a great dude. He gets the fight game. And the 35 thing didn't work out. And I'm a little more positive on his this matchup. I mean, I think Cub can win this. I'll probably just go ahead and pick Cub just because why not? I'm not throwing any money on it or anything.
I like
but,
that.
Hakeem, and he's coming off what, almost a year layoff and against a pretty. I'm trying to do you remember the Arosa fight? Wait, which he lost by decision.
He lost Julian Arosa.
Yeah, so he's coming off a loss. Is anyone this whole card coming off wins? Is there any win versus win?
Yeah,
Khalil Roundtree has three wins, but he is fighting a three losing streak person. Yeah. So winners matched up. I don't know.
Aliana Viana, and Jasmine Lucindo are both coming off wins. So how dare you? But you're right. The majority is either both fighters have lost, or at least one of the fighters coming off a loss. That's weird. That's very weird.
I'll add for on your Casey, like, I think Swanson, this is theoretically winnable for Swanson because Dawodu is not like a big finisher, and that's really where Cub has struggled. As he's gotten older, he can't take damage the same way, and it's not really Dawodu's game. So if he can just turn this into a skill matchup, then maybe he's got a shot here. If you just consistently pick against people who are 40 in this sport, particularly when they're facing people 10 years younger than them, you're going to do extremely well.
Good strategy. Good betting strategy.
You are largely going to win if you just pick the dude who's 8 years younger than the guy he's fighting.
41 pro fights for Cub Swanson, 17 for Dawodu. Also, big experience gap there.
So many fights. 41 fights is so many fights.
Cub Swanson, his first fight, he lost in 15 seconds to Shannon Guggerty by rear naked choke, and then he didn't lose again for three.
I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
And that'll be on damn.
He lost to Shannon Guggerty.
He avenged it 2 years later, and then he won his next. So he won his next 11 fights, including avenging that loss.
That was also Shannon Guggerty's first fight. What an incredible stat! That's such a great damn piece. Random.
Save it. And then look at his losses after. Jens Pulver, Hall of Famer. Jose Aldo, Hall of Famer. Chad Mendes, probably not a Hall of Famer, but at the peak Chad Mendes at the time.
Chad Mendes is going to be in the Hall of Fame because his rematch with Aldo is going to get him in the Hall of Fame. Yes,
correct. Okay, correct. Ricardo Lamas, who was a top five featherweight.
Not a Hall of Famer, but another damn guy, basically.
Frankie Edgar, Max Holloway, Ortega,
Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, anomaly.
Two-time title challenger. Yeah, I mean, this is so he up until recently. I mean, he's still losing to good guy. The guys he's losing to are still good, but I mean, it was just like superstars that he was losing to for the longest time. So I'm with you guys.
He still hasn't lost to anybody who's bad. Jonathan Martinez is the worst dude he's lost to. And Jonathan Martinez is a good fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Giga was just falling off. He didn't belong in.
Too. Yeah. And Giga's just falling off the face of the earth. I don't know what's going on with Giga. So you guys are right. It's not really a co-main event. It has good, great showcase for Cub. I mean, giving him that spot, not necessarily a showcase fight that he's going to like dominate. But I'm with Casey though. I think I'm going with my fellow Scorpio, and I'm going to pick Cub Swanson. I will also almost be 40 when November rolls around, so I have to stick with my boy, and I'll go Cub Swanson.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm saying this right now on this show. I am going to reenact that speech when my birthday rolls around, and I'm not changing anything. I'm just doing this. I'm not like changing it so it's my birthday. Like I'm just doing it word for word. That speech.
I love it.
What's the name? Mike Gundy.
Was that who? I honestly don't remember who gave the speech. Yeah. That might be right.
I got to check the contours. Anyone know what the hell I'm talking about? This was a great moment. Anyway.
I have no idea, but also I have little interest in asking.
It's
hilarious. Oh, it's an Oklahoma State football coach at a presser, like loses his mind and starts screaming, "I'm a man, I'm 40.
So Swanson will soon be giving that speech.
I am gaining interest now. Okay. Yes. Send me the
link. He will soon be giving that speech himself this November. But for now, he's only he's a spry 39, and I'm picking him to win by, you know what? I'll go decision. I can't be gutsy enough to call a finish. Casey, what were you thinking? Also decision?
Cub by experience.
Cub by experience him.
Yeah. Just, and then if it's not, as long as it's not a brawl, where both guys are just taking lots of damage. Yeah, Cub's just can't take the same amount of damage I think he used to. If Cub just fights smart and technically, he should win this fight. I think so. But of course, he's 40 and
not yet.
No, he's not 40. Cub's not 40.
No, close. I said in November.
Okay, close. When is RDA? So him and RDA
are both 39. Is younger. RDA is
38.
You just turned 30.
Oh, RDA is 38. Okay, yeah.
RDA turns 39.
Oh, sorry, October. October, even sooner.
All right. Mm.
Yes, okay. So, and Jed, you're saying Dawodu by decision.
I'm going by decision because, like, all of his fights go to decision. So
He has a tendency.
I have a bet on Dawodu by decision.
If Cub does take a bad loss, though, I don't know what's next for Cub though.
If he takes a bad loss, then he just takes the retirement fight next, and maybe we can get him to go out on a good, like a good retirement fight, you know,
with a crowd, hopefully. Yeah, not at the Apex.
Cub, this can't be his final fight because he's been fighting in the Apex every time lately. His last four fights have been in the Apex, I think. No, that'd three, because one of two. So his last three fights have all been at the Apex. So he's definitely. If he's retiring, it can't be this one. You got to go out in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I would hope not.
New Mexico, let's go. All right, let's run down the rest of this card real quick,
then
guys.
Then he can box Jose Aldo.
Please. The rematch, finally. Six-fight main card, light heavyweight bout, Khalil Roundtree Jr., Chris Daukaus. This was postponed. These guys were supposed to fight a few months back. This is Chris Daukaus's light heavyweight debut. And as you said, Khalil Roundtree is streaking, so some intrigue there, I suppose. Women's strike, Pollyanna Viana, cosplay enthusiast, who we learned today apparently is not being allowed. She wants to do some anime cosplay thing. I wish Jose Youngs was here to explain this to me, but she is not being allowed to. Because
they don't even show those walkouts. I mean, I don't know, like, well, I guess for in the U.S. they
also
don't show the walkouts.
Also, it's in the Apex. Like, what better way to spruce up the otherwise dull, you know, surroundings of the Apex than have someone come in just
Apex,
as
you got Apex so tall? Character? It's intimate.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yes, and some people love it, as those signs that you tweeted out a couple of shows ago. ESPN Plus, Apex Rules, whatever, that was incredible. Pollyanna Viana facing Jasmine Lucindo. This would be a catchweight bout now. We don't know the purse penalty, but according to Brendan Fitzgerald, this one is going through AJ Dobson versus Tafon Chukwe. And Chukwe missed weight by 3.5 pounds. Bad. The opening fight is also going through, according to Fitzgerald. This was Josh Fremd, Jamie Pickett, and Fremd missed weight by 3 pounds. So I don't know why you don't just reorganize the fighters. I mean, yes, it'd be unfair because they prepare for specific people, but do you want to be a fighter or not? All right. You know, I got to go full Dana. This is as real as it gets. All right. So
whatever y'all do, don't look at the link Mike just posted.
I'm not going to. And
is that what's going on? Yeah. I was about to ask you what's going on. What's going on?
Jed, you can't mention this
on the show. Anyway, just so for anyone listening at home, or even anyone watching the show right now, we are on our Slack channel. Mike just shared a grisly injury that just happened in a fight.
That's pretty tough.
Did he already delete it?
Actually, I don't know if it's up there. It popped up on my Twitter. It actually might be the worst injury I've seen in mixed martial arts.
We are on the air, please. Let us. Can we stick to this scintillating UFC Vegas 78 card? Is anything else jumping out at you outside of those two fights, gentlemen? Real quick, and then we'll move on to one or two questions. I've dug deep into the card. I know you have two as well, Jed, for No Best Bards. So what's catching your eye outside of the top two?
Nothing. Terrence McKinney is fun to watch because he's going to get done in 7 minutes or less.
Let me ask you about Terrence McKinney. Is he mishandling his career?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Unquestionably, dude. Uh-huh. He got gassed up a month ago and just turning around to fight a guy that like theoretically he should beat, but just the way he's fighting is super fun. It's not sustainable. He's proven that he's not like intrinsically durable enough to get away with this sort of style. And I don't think he's going to change up, and I'm not here to knock him for it. Like, he has made himself a name by virtue of doing things this way, but it's probably not good for his long-term future. Because like at any point in time, if Mike Breeden can just hang on for 7 minutes, he's probably going to win the fight. And that's pretty tough. So but he's always fun. He's appointment viewing. I don't know how good an idea this is to turn around this fast, but we'll see.
That's right. He is stepping in. Who's he stepping in for? He is stepping in for Lando Venata. This was supposed to be Lando Venata versus Mike Breeden. Mike Breeden 0-2 in the UFC so far. His first fight since April of last year. This is such a weird fight. Such a weird card. Casey, anything out here? You said you were interested in Montserrat Ruiz, Amarim, as well as Juliana Miller and Luana Santos.
Not in the sense of, are they going to be fighting for titles soon? Just because, I haven't seen her in a while. And Juliana Miller is kind of like a female Terrence McKinney, just kind of appointment viewing. Not necessarily going to win, but you know it's going to be kind of interesting. And more
they are not. They are not giving her easy fights for someone who has like she. I get it, she won the Ultimate Fighter, but outside of that, she had three pro. She was 2-1 professionally going when she actually entered the UFC. And then she had to fight Veronica Hardy, who I mean, look, I think we all thought she was going to beat her, but then you realize Veronica Hardy is quite a bit more experienced than she is, and now Luana Santos coming in with a little bit of hype behind her. A younger fighter with a bit of hype behind her. These are not easy fights for Juliana Miller. I don't know what easy fights there could be, but
she's at the pinnacle of the sport. There really shouldn't be easy fights. I mean,
that's what's so crazy about this card. Are we really saying that this card is representing the pinnacle of the sport? I don't think we can do that with a straight face, except for Casey, the fight that I am looking forward to, Josh Parisian versus Martin Budai. Both, first of all, I said right at the top of the show, Josh Parisian with one of the most tortured paths to the UFC I have ever seen. Him and Phil Haas are maybe up there with like how many stops. To have to do the Contender Series twice, and his second fight, it's not like he won with like a pretty exciting knockout. To then be told, you're getting a contract to be on the next season of The Ultimate Fighter. that is sadistic and cruel. And bless you, Josh Parisian, for even putting up with this and not just retiring immediately and saying, you know what, this is not for me. I don't want to put up with this bull crap. And now he's a member of the UFC roster, and he's fought five times, including against the illustrious Parker Porter. So I guess no big complaints there. Anyway, him and Martin Budai both came in, guys, 266 pounds. These are heavy heavyweights. This is meaty men slapping meat. This is why I watch MMA. These are the kind of fights that I want to see. All right. So there's your sleeper.
I love bad heavyweight fights. I always love bad heavyweight fights. That's what we're gonna get.
What if I told you?
And we're gonna get 15 minutes of that bad heavyweight fight, so much. Too, let me tell you.
I love this fight so much. What if I told you Martin Budai is 3-0 in the UFC? Would you believe me?
I would, because I did my research on this fight because I had to bet the over.
He has won 11 straight fights.
Man, it's three decisions in the UFC. Three decision wins. He is a student of the heavyweight over game, and we love him for that.
He has won 11 straight fights. How far back are we talking about here? How old is he? He's 31. He is a baby for a heavyweight. He's 31 years old.
Is he the guy that plays video games?
Jed, did you find this in your research?
I don't know.
I'm losing track.
But yes, Martin Budai and Josh Friesen.
Jan Blachowicz plays video games.
Yes, he does.
I don't know.
Yes, he does. Case, let's go to some questions, please. Let's get out of here with some questions. I don't know what I can say.
All right. Questions. We can talk about the other card. Okay. Questions about this card. That's gonna be tough. I'm getting lots of. I got questions. All right. Here we go. A question actually about this card.
Joseph Boza, what's up? Could Chris Daukaus impress Bill tomorrow? He's going down to light heavyweight for the first time in hopes of having better luck versus number 13 Khalil Roundtree. He could. This, I like this matchup for him. Khalil, of course, I think a much better striker. Daukaus got some hands. Daukaus got some power. We saw that at heavyweight. I think the drop down to light heavy is very good for him. I think he ran into some heavies where it was clear there was a size and power disadvantage. Not that there's some light heavies that can't slug. I mean, that he could get colded by Khalil Roundtree very easily. But he's also a great grappler, and I would hope that at the slightest sign of trouble, Daukaus takes this one to the ground. But I don't know. Again, I'm not a fighter. I don't know the mentality. So, Jed, are you optimistic? Former top 10, I think, or top 12 MMA fighting ranked heavyweight, Chris Daukaus' chance at 205?
No, I think he's probably in trouble. His big advantage at heavyweight, I don't think he's a natural heavyweight, but his advantage at heavyweight is the speed. He was quicker. He could bounce around. He could, you know, do that sort of thing, which gave him a leg up over several heavyweights. Particularly, I mean, if you look back at the guys he beat, Shamil Abdurakhimov, Alexei Linick, these are very plodding, slower, older dudes. And the minute, Derek Lewis, Curtis Blades, much bigger than him. They're also just better athletes. And that's really at a very basic level where he struggled. Hey, these dudes can match my athleticism and speed, but they hit a lot harder and they're more durable. I think he's going to run into similar issues at light heavyweight with people who can match him there. And he's not even going to have a speed advantage that he can lean on. I think that's really going to be problematic against Khalil. Maybe the size, him, you know, getting rid of that excess weight and getting a little leaner will help his game round out. But if he beats Khalil Roundtree, then maybe there's something here. I tend to think that he's about to get knocked out for the fourth time in a row, though.
Yeah. Daukaus looked okay on the scale. He didn't look like super. He looked like a heavyweight who had lost some weight. He didn't look like super jacked. Not like Khalil Roundtree. I mean, not comparing to him. That dude is gas the gills. That dude is pumped. Casey, any thoughts on Chris Daukaus at light heavyweight?
No, it's more about how Roundtree looks. I think Roundtree seems to be a bit inconsistent in his performances. Yes. But I don't know. Maybe it's just opponents are giving him different looks. I don't know. But if Khalil Roundtree brings that Muay Thai violence and just starts chopping Daukaus' legs up, it could be a very very vicious night for Chris Daukaus. But no matter what happens, can Chris Daukaus do anything tomorrow night where we're gonna go, okay, this is maybe this is like a new player in the 205 division.
It doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much at 205 to climb to like close to the top 15. It's not a big climb.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's a garbage ass weight class.
I didn't say that.
I'm saying it's garbage ass weight class. Khalil Roundtree is like a fun fighter. He's ranked in the top 15. Like if Chris Dawkins comes out here and runs over Khalil Roundtree, like I agree. Khalil's been inconsistent, but it's a good win. And like, then it would make me at least interested to see, okay, maybe he's just better served at 205. And particularly if he can add on some muscle, trim off some soft and, you know, really acclimate his body. So we have seen other people have some, like Nikita Krylov was a chubby heavyweight who wasn't very good. And then he cuts down and like, after a year or two of doing it, now he's extremely fit and clearly in a good weight class. Dawkins is young enough. If he has a good showing, I'd be interested. But if he just gets starched, then it's like, well, okay. Which weight class do you want to get knocked out in?
I do. Well, that's the problem. It could be worse than that, though. I do worry that – because I think his brother – also got released recently, right? Am I? That's a thing, right?
Yes, he did.
So I do wonder if it is a quick showing, like in a bad way, if Khalil Roundtree like knocks him out, and you know, the first 90 seconds of the fight, will they just cut ties? Because that'll be Dawkins's. I know it's a new weight class, but it'll be his fourth straight loss.
If he loses again, I think he's getting gassed.
Yeah, and anyway, he's the kind of guy who, if he got cut, he's 33. It's not like super old. I don't feel like it's the end of the road for him. I feel like maybe he can come back, but
go back to CFFC like his brother did.
Sure, might have to. It's such a bummer.
Round out the game for a little bit, and you know.
Who's this troll, Esther Lynn, with this comment? What is this? Why do you put up these troll comments, Casey?
Sorry, that was a mistake. Yeah.
What did I say?
I mean, look, if Chris Dawkins wins, he will be number 13 in the UFC's light heavyweight rankings, which means he's like three fights from a title.
There you go. Yeah. I think two. Yeah.
Depending on the two, it could be two.
It could be two. Casey, let's give us another.
All right.
If there is one.
We got questions. Do you want to talk about the sport in general? We got questions on other cards, or are we going to keep it very focused on this card?
Sure. Let me end the poll as well. What is your grade for UFC Vegas 78 lineup? C, 42%, B, 25%, D or lower, only 19%, A, 11%. So I would have got like, I think this is a D on paper.
If you're watching this though, you like the card.
Listen, I'm in the vast minority. A to C is C and B is prominent, and then a little bit of A, and then D is only 19%. So we're just haters, guys. We're just straight up haters.
I'm not. I have a discerning palate.
We can't
love
everything. We can't love.
Why?
Oh, you're
right. Why?
Okay. I have a discerning palate. If I eat a steak and a McDonald's cheeseburger, they don't taste the same. They just don't.
Casey, I think we might have to wrap soon. I see a lot of people just complimenting Esther now. Nobody's here for that, so I'm not here for that. I think we just wrap it up.
She doesn't need that.
Guys. There's Bellator going on tonight. It's starting now, starting soon, starting at 6 o'clock Eastern time.
I believe it starts at 6 Eastern.
And Bellator.
It might be 6:30, but.
Oh, Casey, big it up. You got time. You have, I don't know how much time. Go ahead. You're the producer. I can't shut you down.
You can't do anything. Yes. Make sure you watch the main event of the prelims. My teammate, Weber Almeida, is fighting Lucas Brenneman. I think he's Brennan, something. He's 9-0, undefeated featherweight. Oh man, Weber is such a freaking force, and this is a very tough fight for him. And he's facing a very good prospect. So watch that fight and cheer for my boy Weber, or cheer for your boy Lucas. You know,
there you go.
And I'm sure he has friends too.
You can watch him.
I'm very excited to see him fight.
You can watch a live stream of those prelims on MMAfighting.com. For free, $3.95, the best price of all. So those at MMAfighting.com, check those out. The main card will be on Showtime in Canada. Free is a very good price. Canada, I think you have to be subscribed to like TSN Plus or something. Sorry, guys, I don't know for sure. But it is not on basic cable, which is just, you know, make of that what you will. So that's Bellator. There's also BKFC tonight.
Wait, hold on. I got some deep thoughts from Esther Lynn.
Oh, my goodness. Esther Lynn says, can't love everything because then nothing is loved.
Not true. I love all of you.
Whatever. Yeah, get out of here, you hippie.
Get out of here.
Get out of here, you hippie. Get that. Get those wise words of wisdom. There's no place for that in MMA. But yes, BKFC and Bellator tonight. By the time some people listen to this on early Saturday or before UFC Vegas 78, they'll already know if Logan Storley was able to overcome Brendan Ward or if Casey's teammate was able to overcome Lucas Brennan. But thank you, everyone who joined live. And thank you for everyone who is listening to the show whenever you're listening to it. This has been the UFC Vegas 78 Luque versus Dos Anjos preview show, courtesy of MMA Fighting's Alexander K. Lee, Jed K. Mashu, and E. Casey Lydon.
Love y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, you didn't say goodbye. That was odd. Yeah, you're not good at this.
Wow. You're not good at this. Sending us out on a high note. Love y'all.
Happy birthday, AK. Oh, wait, that's me.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.